Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Time. There's nothing more valuable. It's what drives everyone to make the most of every moment. We celebrate living large in the now. In a city where time disappears, we create experiences that electrify the soul and memories that will last forever. We go big. We go all night. And here, everyone is invited. So get loose and get loud.
This is Circa. You'll have the time of your life.
This is the Arash Markazi Show on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio.
Hello and welcome to the Arash Markazi Show, presented by the Sporting Tribune on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio in Southern California, 98.5 The Bet in Las Vegas, and the Hawaii Sports Radio Network, 95.1 FM and AM 760 in Hawaii. A lot to get into on a Tuesday, so let's not waste any time. Let's head out to the Circus Sports Guest Hotline. Joining us now from the Sporting Tribune, Grant Malone. Grant, how are you?
Doing well this week. It's post-football, so it's kind of weird.
I know, right?
It's kind of weird not having it around.
It was definitely weird. We kind of leaned on a lot of the post-game sound I got from the Super Bowl press conferences. Again, we were out there all week on Radio Row and still trying to kind of unpack like everything that we saw in this game. So maybe let's talk about the game some. We were texting with our good friend Brandon. I'm sure you guys have talked since then. I mean, I keep going back to how talented this team has been, really, over the past three or four years. I mean, you go to last season, where I think if Brock Purdy's healthy, perhaps they win that game. The season previous to that, listen, at the end of the day, kudos to the Rams, but you and I both know just off of the track record, head-to-head, plus the drop pick, how that could have gone. And then again, a couple years before that, they're in the Super Bowl. They've been at the doorstep, and there are some people who wonder if this might be it, if this is not the ceiling for them. Let's first touch on San Francisco, because, again, I think the majority of people out there are still focused on the greatness of Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs, and we'll touch on that. But as you look at San Francisco, and, again, according to Las Vegas, they are still favored to get back to the Super Bowl in terms of the Chiefs being favored to win it and San Francisco being right behind them. That being said, when you don't want to compare them to the Buffalo Bills, who went to four straight Super Bowls and lost, but again, they have been arguably the best team in the conference the last 4 years. They've gone to the Super Bowl two of those years. They have not won. Your thoughts on that team?
Yeah, that team, in one aspect as a Rams fan, it's sweet to see. But if we're looking at it from a football perspective, I don't know what you can ask for. Like, usually teams, when they lose a rush, you go, okay, well, let's see where they can improve in the offseason. Let's see what they can bring in to maybe shore up some areas. And in the Niners' instance, I don't know where you can improve because you're kind of good everywhere. And that's the thing about this game is that the Niners controlled the game for three quarters, I'd say. And of course, the Chiefs made their comeback in the second half, but I felt like for three quarters, the Niners kind of just, they were the team. They were the ones that were getting the ball upfield. They were running all over the Chiefs defense. Things were kind of going their way, except for the muffed punt. And now for the Niners, after this game, you look back and you lose it in the final seconds of overtime, that's honestly probably the most devastating way to lose a Super Bowl. And they've lost Super Bowls in the past. In 2012, they lost. In 2020, they lost. And those were, you know, those were double-digit deficits. This one is just unbelievable. I mean, yeah. First, the decision to take the ball first, which is the controversy right now, to have your players not know the rules is absolutely unbelievable. And Andy Reid and all of his players talked about how they had meetings up until the Super Bowl about that certain thing. And for the Niners to just not have that available, or not even know what's going on, that's a direct reflection of the coaching. I mean, as a coaching staff, you got to let your players know that. And for the biggest game of your career, I guess you could say, in a lot of these guys' aspects, you have to know that kind of thing. And it's not like they didn't tell you before the overtime started, too. But if I'm looking at this Niners team, yes, they're going to be good next year. Yes, they're going to have a great regular season record. But now we kind of got to look at them in a certain way where it's like, hey, it's kind of like the Cowboys, where, sure, you can do whatever you want in the regular season. You can go ahead and win as many games as you want. But we're going to judge you based off how you perform in the postseason. And for the 49ers, they've gotten farther than the Cowboys have, but they just have not gotten it done when it matters. And I can't really put a finger on it, because for the most part in this game, Arash, I just felt like the Niners had control over it. Brock Purdy looked really good. He kind of matched Mahomes for three quarters. CMC, like I said, was running all over them. I think the main thing was Kittle and Debo Samuel were just taken completely out of the game. And I know Debo Samuel left for a little bit with a hamstring injury, and Kittle left with a shoulder injury. But that defense, especially losing Greenlaw, that was a huge blow to them in the second half. I think after he got hurt, you kind of saw Mahomes take advantage of the middle of the field and kind of use slants with Rice and Kelce. Look, this is why I was so hesitant to bet on the Niners in this game, is because I just knew that the Chiefs, if they got into a scenario where it was a one-score game or even a two-score game and they had a chance to come back, I would always bet on Patrick Mahomes. And lo and behold, they did. So, man, for the Niners fans, it must be just so devastating. And look, I know how that feels. I've felt that for many sports and many of my favorite teams. I know how this feels. And I don't like the comparison to the Bills, because the Bills lost four in a row. The Niners haven't really done that. I know they've lost three in the last decade. But this team, look, they still have a great window. They have a lot of their players signed. Ayuk is not a free agent until next year. Brock Purdy's still under contract. They have everyone signed, basically. They can still add if they want to get offensive line help or secondary help. So, man, what a devastating loss. But hey, awesome Super Bowl, right? Yeah. Overtime. It's the first postseason game with those new overtime rules. This is why probably everyone was confused. So, devastating loss for the Niners. Obviously, awesome win for the Chiefs. But great Super Bowl in totality. I think Las Vegas put on a great show. We should have the Super Bowl in Las Vegas a little bit more, I think.
I totally agree. And again, obviously, I'm biased in the sense that I live in Vegas half the time. The show that we do is obviously broadcasted in Vegas. But you know what made it such a great Super Bowl town, and you know this about Las Vegas, Grant, is that, you know, it is centrally located, in the sense that you fly into Vegas, you take your Uber, Lyft, or whatnot to your hotel. Let's just say you're at the Luxor, which was the media hotel. I mean, you really never had to, if you planned it right, to be honest, like, had to get a Lyft or like an Uber. Like, you could have taken the monorail. You could have, you know, walked, depending on where you're going. It is really an amazing Super Bowl city in that respect. It's one of the reasons why New Orleans, which will be the host of the Super Bowl next year, is great. A lot of towns, and again, including Los Angeles, which I love, and I'm glad that they're back in the rotation, but like, you fly into Los Angeles, maybe you're staying in downtown, which is where the convention center is. Then you go to SoFi, which is in Inglewood, and then you want to go to the South Bay to go somewhere. That, like, it's very spread out. The majority of these towns are spread out. Vegas is great because everything during the week, except for Lake Las Vegas, and again, that just affects the media. I mean, the media, and again, the media took a bus and they went out there. But I get why the teams can't be staying on the Strip. You can't have the two participating teams stay at a hotel casino right in the heart of the Strip. Right. And from everyone that I've heard, who went out to Lake Las Vegas, they had a great time. So they're probably going to get it again in 6 years. So what it is, it's going to be New Orleans, Santa Clara, which is, you know, home of the San Francisco 49ers. Then it'll be back in Los Angeles. Again, quick turnaround for Los Angeles, but I'm happy about that. Then it is up for grabs. I've heard that they want to get the game back to Miami, and they want to include Nashville, Tennessee, which is about to open up a new stadium. That'll be a fun town. And then maybe it'll come back in 2030. Wanted to ask you, Grant, about the Chiefs. Again, we knew this would happen. Once the Chiefs won, we knew that there would be talk about Patrick Mahomes being in that conversation. And in fact, some people have just said, forget the conversation. He is the greatest. And I don't get that as much. And yeah. Again, maybe they are just talking about just the what they've seen physically. But again, we just saw a guy retire a couple of years ago, maybe like 2 years ago, in Tom Brady, who won seven. Not only did he win seven, and I know it was a pandemic season, blew out the Chiefs head-to-head when it was Tom Brady in Tampa Bay going up against Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs. Your thoughts on what we've seen right now? Again, so the Chiefs have won three Super Bowls in 5 years. Much like San Francisco, if they haven't gone there, they've like been knocking at the door. They've been in the conference championship game. Your thoughts on the Chiefs' run and also the talk about Patrick Mahomes right now?
Yeah, obviously the Chiefs are a generational franchise, and yeah, I guess you could call them the new dynasty. I always like to compare them to the Patriots. I think they're just the new version of the Patriots. And I remember when I was a kid growing up, when the early 2000s, when they beat the Rams, and then the Patriots went on to beat the Panthers and the Eagles, and they just went on this amazing run. And this is exactly how it felt, right? You had this generational quarterback with a pretty good defense and an excellent head coach with some weapons around him. And they would just, when the time got down to it, Tom Brady knew what to do. And when the time gets down to it, Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes just know what to do. And, you know, for a team that they didn't even start Patrick Mahomes' first year. They had Alex Smith starting. I think I love this tweet, and I don't know who sent it out, but I saw it very quickly, is that Mahomes has had the greatest start to a career, but the greatest overall career is still Tom Brady. Yeah. I mean, we can't bypass that. I mean, Tom Brady has seven championships, and he played until he was 44 years old. I mean, this is a guy that, you know, if Mahomes wants to get to that level, I think he still needs a few more titles. And obviously, look, Mahomes is 28, so by the time he's 38 or 40, you know, God forbid he's still playing, maybe he could get to that. Maybe he could get to that in the next 3 years, Arash. I always count out the Chiefs, and I counted them out in the regular season, and here they are winning another title back-to-back for the first time since the Patriots did it, by the way. So the Chiefs, obviously, they have room to add too. Like, I'm assuming they're going to get free agents as well. And that's crazy because they already have such a great team. And you look at around the roster and you're like, how do they win with some of these guys? And they just do find a way to win. And for Patrick Mahomes, you know, a lot of the game, I was thinking like, when is he going to break out? When is he finally going to turn it on? When is he going to do it? And I guess it's just when he gets to the third quarter or the fourth quarter when he wants to turn it on. And that's what the greats do. And this is something that has been circulating around the media right now, and a lot of people are talking about, is that was the difference in the game. It was Purdy against Mahomes, and Purdy didn't show up when it mattered. I'm not going to go that far because I really got to give Brock Purdy a lot of credit. He was pretty good in this game. He did not have any turnovers. He played a pretty clean game. Obviously, there's some overthrows with pressure on him. There was a third and four that he missed with their pressure. And, you know, maybe that's the difference between them winning a Super Bowl and not, because some of those plays, if you had converted them, the Chiefs probably would have lost and the Niners would have been champions. So Mahomes found a way and Brock Purdy didn't. And that's what the greats did. And maybe Brock Purdy learns from this and he can look. Brock Purdy has an excellent career ahead of him, but for the Chiefs, look, they're in the prime right now, and Mahomes showed why he's in his prime. He's the best player in the world right now in terms of football. And Are we really surprised? I am really not, now that I've seen it. I don't know why I'm... Here's something. I'm never going to doubt the Chiefs ever again. Yeah. I said this before the Super Bowl when we were talking about it, is that I compare them to the Warriors. The Warriors have won 5 in a row, and the Chiefs have just won the Super Bowl again, and it looks like they're both playing well at the right time. So, yeah, Andy Reid, again, he's coming back for another year. Kelce, it looks a little bit older, but again, I said that in the middle of the season, then he had one of his best postseasons. He had some really good performances, so... Oh, man, they're probably the new Patriots-type dynasty. Yeah. We're going to have another one on our hands.
Do you think that they're more well-liked again? Maybe, listen, you can't compare. Like, Andy Reid is such a lovable guy, and I've enjoyed, you know, like over the past couple of Super Bowls, talking to him about growing up in Los Angeles. He loves Tommy's Tommy's hamburgers. So again, I mean, he's a more likable guy. Again, a big guy, and you got Patrick Mahomes is still pretty likable. I mean, they seem like a more likable dynasty than the Patriots. And again, like the Patriots had their like off the field problems too, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think with the Chiefs, I think now that you add Taylor Swift into it,
Yeah, right. It
kind of gets more of a demographic. Like when the Patriots were back in the day, I mean, they were hard hitters. Obviously, they had the Spygate scandal, so a lot of people hated them for that, too.
Yeah.
And you had Tom Brady, who was kind of this cocky guy who, you know, he had kind of a certain swag to him, you know. Patrick Mahomes is really, he doesn't really do anything else but his State Farm commercials. I mean, he's pretty quiet in the media. He doesn't really talk on social media a lot. He kind of just shows it on the field. Obviously, he's a great character in the NFL, but you have a bunch of guys that, and look, you have some rookies that stepped up too, LeJarius Sneed, and you have McDuffie. They have Jones as a defensive lineman. They have a lot of likable guys. And I think that's the difference between them and the Patriots, where the Patriots were kind of like the evil empire, yeah. Right? Everyone wanted to beat them. The Chiefs, you know, it's like they kind of just hang in the weeds and then they strike. So it's kind of like you just forget about them. And it's like, oh, hey, the Chiefs are in the Super Bowl again. How about that? It's just, I don't know, it's kind of two different ways the way they operate. So you can't really compare the two that way. But yeah, in terms of winning, they're pretty similar, though.
It's so amazing, you know, when you look back to how that Patriots dynasty started. I mean, they were historical dogs against the St. Louis Rams. I mean, the greatest show on turf, and no one gave them much of a chance. Again, Tom Brady coming back. You know, he was a backup quarterback. Drew Bledsoe was the starter. And then, like, Tom Brady gets hurt in the conference championship game. Drew Bledsoe helps them win. And then there's this, you know, a slight quarterback controversy, and then Tom Brady goes on to have this historic run, as do the Patriots. As we look at next season, and we kind of just hinted at it now, I mean, it does seem like these two teams, and again, it's so hard to return. It is so hard to, just get back to that point. Again, Grant, you saw that with the Rams, you know, following mm-hmm. that Super Bowl win. I mean, the rallying cry was, you know, run it back. And they really did. I mean, they brought back as many guys as they could. And again, they had one of their worst seasons. How do you see this going for these two teams? Again, I mean, you could say on paper, you know, the Chiefs are going to bring back their crew and San Francisco is going to do the same. It's hard to repeat. It's hard to get back to this point.
Yeah, and for the Chiefs, I think it's a little bit of a tougher road just because if we look at the AFC landscape, right, I mean, I think there's just a little bit more talent there that you have to go through. Let's not forget, Joe Burrow is one of the ones that knocked Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs out, and they weren't even in the playoffs this year. They'll be back with a vengeance. You'll have the new-look Chargers with John Harbaugh. You know, they'll probably be a formidable candidate to knock them off. You have some teams in there. The Dolphins could restack their defense. You have the teams in the AFC North, like the Ravens. The Browns are still good. The Steelers may improve. If I go around each division in the AFC, it's going to be pretty tough to do so. And look, we said that about this year too, and the Chiefs did it again. In the NFC, it's a little bit easier of a route for the Niners, and nothing's easy in this league. You have injuries, like you said about the Rams. They thought it was going to be a cakewalk back to the Super Bowl. Hey, we're running it back. It's all good. No, they got hurt. Everyone got hurt. hurt at the wrong time, and they ended up blowing everything up. So you never know. With the Niners, you probably have the Eagles and the Cowboys in the NFC East, the Rams and the Seahawks. But, you know, even those, you can really say that the Niners have the benefit of the doubt against any of those teams. So I think for the Niners, it's going to be a little bit difficult, and I'm not going to put a window on them, but they do have some things to decide here, you know, with Kittle, and, you know, Kittle's getting up there in age, and, you know, they have to pay Ayuk, Purdy, and I know that they've kind of manipulated things to get their way usually in contracts, but, you know, it may not be easy for them to repeat. Like, you know, like Dan Campbell said with the Lions, we don't know if we'll ever get back here. You know, we just don't know. There's so many unknowns throughout a season. Like they've mentioned, look, we started in July and it's February and we just lost. So all that kind of just goes to bed. But for the Chiefs, I think they have a tougher route. For the Niners, I think I still have them as my favorite to get back to the Super Bowl right now. Obviously a lot can change, but, I think that they're the best team still in the NFC right now.
Two long shot odds that are, you know, obviously I'm bringing this up because it's local, +2,500 for the Chargers, +3,000 for the Rams. The Chargers is interesting just because if you look at the talent that they have, but they have Jim Harbaugh. And that's significant just because when you look at what Jim Harbaugh has usually done historically, as soon as he gets to a program, I mean, San Francisco was one of the dormants of the league. They had not done anything for the previous like 8 or 9 years. Jim Harbaugh gets there 13-3. They get to the conference championship game. They don't win, but if I could tell you that you'd have a +2,500. Really quick, one last thing before we head to break. Is there a, like, of those teams? I mean, I know you like the Rams, but I mean, +3,000 for the Rams, that's not bad.
Yeah, listen, I don't know why the Rams and the Chargers continue to be doubted. The Rams have a lot of cap space. They have draft picks. They have guys that emerged. And for the Chargers, they have exactly what they needed, a new coach, a new coaching staff, and a new identity. So I may take some of those odds, Arash. Yeah. That sounds pretty good right now.
Exactly. All right, let's leave it there for now. You know, sadly putting a bow on the football season. But when we come back, we'll talk about really getting into high gear for the stretch run of the NBA before we head into the All-Star break. So we'll talk about that when we come back right here on the Mightier 1090 in Southern California, the Bet in Las Vegas, and the Hawaii Sports Radio Network.
We'll be right back with the Arash Markazi Show on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio.
Time. There's nothing more valuable. It's what drives everyone to make the most of every moment. We celebrate living large in the now. In a city where time disappears, we create experiences that electrify the soul and memories that will last forever. We go big. We go all night. And here, everyone is invited. So get loose and get loud.
This is Circa. You'll have the time of your life.
This is the Arash Markazi Show on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio.
Welcome back to the Arash Markazi Show, presented by the Sporting Tribune on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio in Southern California. 98.5 The Bet in Las Vegas and the Hawaii Sports Radio Network, 95.1 FM and AM 760 in Hawaii. By the way, just as a reminder, if you have a question or comment, or want to win tickets to an upcoming game in Southern California, Las Vegas, or Hawaii, call our hotline 310-400-0340. All right, Grant, football is over. We are officially done with the trade deadline. So we're coming out of the trade deadline. And here's the question that I have for you. Did you like the fact that the Lakers did not do anything before we touch on the Clippers, which have clearly been the best team in Los Angeles? Because we've been talking about it a lot. It does seem this is the group, this is the team that the Lakers are going with. It. Did you like the decision to basically keep this team intact? And, you know, they did make a move. They signed Spencer Dinwiddie. But your thoughts on what the Lakers did?
Yeah, I think it was the right decision to stand pat. I just think that, you know, Arash, you and I have talked about it for a while now, is that I don't think there was anybody that would really move the needle for them in terms of getting them over the hump or putting them up into the contender status. There were talks about DeJounte Murray, and those fell apart when D'Angelo Russell just happened to just get hot at the right time, right? He's been great for over the last month and a half, I'd have to say. And he's put up numbers comparable to DeJounte Murray. So that kind of scared away the Lakers from making any trade involving him because he didn't really need to. There are talks about Austin Reeves being included in deals, and then he turned it up. I mean, he's been having a great stretch himself. Rui Hachimura is so crucial to this team. The Lakers have always had a team that I felt could be a contender. This is why I had them in my top three before the season, is just because I really believed in that roster. I thought they were one of the deepest rosters in the league. And unfortunately, we just haven't seen it fully yet. And then when we did, it just was discombobulated. We didn't have the right lineups. We didn't have the right players in. And now Jared Vanderbilt's out for a while, so we don't really get to see that either. I think the addition of Spencer Dinwiddie is a good one just because right now Max Christie's hurt. Gabe Vincent has been hurt for the whole season pretty much. Yeah. You needed a backup guard kind of to supplement the scoring on the bench unit. And they've been pretty good lately. I love the emergence of Jackson Hayes after the trade deadline. He's been really good for them. I think that this team still, look, they've been playing great basketball. There's no doubt about it. They've actually played the way I thought they should have. But here's the thing with the Lakers, and Arash, you know this, we've said this plenty of times, is that I've said this in the past, they've played great, and then the next game they don't look that great. But right now it just feels like, I think that after that Celtics game, it just felt like they turned a corner, and I know they lost to the Nuggets, and that was a close game. I got to give the Lakers credit. They played well in that game as well, but for them to stand pat at the deadline, keep that same mentality that they had without LeBron and AD, with LeBron and AD, they destroyed the Pelicans. They've been playing really good basketball even without those two guys, and I think that sometimes you need to have a game without your stars to kind of find yourself, right? They kind of found an integrity and an identity and a fire in that game. And ever since then, Arash, I've seen nothing but good things. And D'Angelo Russell, everyone said, oh, well, now that the all-star, the trade deadline is over, he's going to revert back to what he was in the Denver series. Uh-uh. He put up some great numbers against the Pelicans. I think that this team is poised to move up in the standings. I'm not going to say that they're going to be a top five seed in the West by the time everything's said and done, but I do expect them to go on a little bit of a mini run here. They have the Pistons tonight, and then they go on a stretch where you can say that they may have 3 of 5 wins, maybe 4-1 in their next five. So for the Lakers, I love the fact that they kept everyone. Obviously, everyone seems like they love each other. The chemistry's good. And adding Spencer Dinwiddie, who can, he can be a really good player off the bench for you. We saw it in the Mavericks series in 2022 when they played the Warriors. And when they went to the Western Conference Finals, how crucial Spencer Dinwiddie was to that team. I'm not going to say he's going to put up numbers comparable to that, but just having another guard that can score, that can give you a little bit of length, is a plus. So I like that signing for the Lakers.
Let's talk about the best team in Los Angeles, Grant, the Clippers. Again, last night was a test. I mean, I don't want to put too much on one game, but they did go up against the team that is the number one seed in the West, in Minnesota. The Clippers had a chance to really kind of solidify themselves as perhaps being the one seed. It was not a close game. Your thoughts on what happened last night?
Yeah, it was just a disaster. There's no other way around it. The Timberwolves are one of these teams, and Arash, I believe we've talked about this, is that when the Clippers run into teams with size, a la the Pelicans, a la the Lakers, a la the Timberwolves, they have a lot of problems, which is why I kind of clamored for the Clippers to do something at the deadline to kind of shore up that power forward spot or get a little bit of size. They didn't need to, but it would have been nice to maybe get a Daniel Gafford, who is excelling on the Mavericks right now, and they basically gave up nothing to get him. And for the Clippers, I mean, from the get-go, it just did not look well. They did not mesh on offense. They looked a little bit lazy. Paul George shot 5 of 16. James Harden shot 5 of 13. Kawhi Leonard, I know he had 18 points, but he was 8 of 17. And they had to pull him halfway through the fourth quarter because the Timberwolves in the second half just annihilated the Clippers. They put up 40 in the third quarter. And look, a lot of people are talking right now, Arash, that, you know, are the Timberwolves legit or should people take them serious? I'm here to tell you right now that people should take them serious because they have an excellent defense, top five in the league. And when their offense is clicking, much like it was last night against the Clippers, they are very dangerous. And if you put them up against a team that may not have the size, maybe against a team like the Thunder, maybe a team like the Mavericks. I know they just acquired some size, but if you put them up in a playoff series against one of those two teams, I think the Wolves can hold their own. And for a team that hasn't gotten to the Western Conference Finals in 19 years, I'm sure that they're itching to do so, the Timberwolves. But for the Clippers, I just think they need the break. I mean, everyone looks really slow-footed. They look lethargic. And I know it was after Super Bowl Sunday, but it seemed like it didn't stop the Timberwolves. They were energetic. Anthony Edwards was hitting step-back bank three-pointers. He was dancing all over the court. Honestly, sometimes these losses, Arash, are very good for a team. It kind of humbles them. It says, hey, I know we've been winning a lot, but there are teams that are out to headhunt for you. So I think that the Clippers will be fine. They play the Warriors tomorrow, so that's going to be another good game. I expect them to come out with a lot more energy, especially after getting, you know, actually they lost by, what, 20 points? So I expect them to bounce back, but, you know, you're going to have some of these games, especially near the All-Star break, where it's just like, okay, can we finally get there? Can we get there? Can we get some rest? Because right now, that's what it looks like. They came off the Grammy trip and they just have not looked the same. They look great in the road trip, but ever since they came home, it looks like they just want to get to the All-Star break and get some rest.
You, basically touched on this, but I mean, Did last night's result, did the lopsidedness of it and the fact that it took place in Los Angeles, I mean, did that change your perception? Again, you said it could be a good thing. Again, you said you were not surprised in terms of the way that they performed against teams with size. That being said, I mean, you know, when you're now kind of trying to size up the rest of the conference going into the postseason, you want to clearly have confidence going up against these teams with size. Did last night change your view on this team and how far they could potentially go?
A little bit in the fact that it is concerning whenever you lose to a team twice that you're probably getting off. They're now 0-2 against the Timberwolves this season, and in both losses, it just looked like the same thing. I know they didn't lose by as much as 20 in the last game in Minnesota, but when you lose to teams that you're probably going to see in the playoffs, it's never a good thing. And for a team like the Timberwolves that, you know, they've remained healthy enough throughout the whole year to where you can finally say, like, maybe this is what it's going to look like. It's not really good for the Clippers, and especially on your home floor, Arash. We've talked about how the Clippers have been great at home. This wasn't in Minnesota. This was at Crypto.com Arena, and they just did not have any energy in the second half, and that may be due to the tired legs. I'm not sure, but you can't have these types of performances when you're trying to climb up in the West. And look, they just lost to the Pelicans. They got blown out by the Pelicans too in a game where obviously the Pelicans have a lot of size. I told you that too. And they're going to play the Lakers here soon. These are games where you have to kind of see matchups. The Clippers threw three centers out there. They threw Daniel Tice, Mason Plumlee, and then they also used Russell Westbrook as a center and Ivica Zubac, and nothing worked. So they kind of threw the kitchen sink at the Timberwolves. And you know, usually you have something where you say, okay, well, maybe we can use this down the road. There was nothing. They stymied them from every point of view. So it is concerning, yes. But for the Clippers, my thing has been this the whole time is that if they're healthy in the playoffs, that's just what I want to see. And that's what I think makes them dangerous. So yeah, of course this is concerning, but you know, when you get to the playoffs, if the Clippers are healthy, I think they can compete with anybody. So, you know, you can't really get jockeying with seeding and all that stuff. Yes, it's a loss and it's pretty crucial because they could have got the one seed. But on the other hand, if the Clippers are healthy and the Wolves are healthy, I'd still probably lean a little bit more towards the Clippers because they have four guys that have been in the playoffs many times. So, I'd probably still give them the edge right now, but. Man, it's tough to lose to the Pelicans and the Timberwolves back to back like that.
Switching gears to the Eastern Conference, and again, I just wanted to get your thoughts on Doc, just because you know your time kind of you know following what he did with the Clippers. Again, thankfully, they have won two games in a row. I mean, they were going through a stretch there where they had lost five of six games there, but. two games in a row. I mean, your thoughts on what Doc could potentially do with this team. I mean, the weird thing here for me is when Doc Rivers came to the Clippers, it was the fact that he was coming off the glow of winning a championship with the Celtics. He had won a title with them. Coming to a Clippers who had not won a title. I think he's enough removed from that amazing run that they had in 2008. And now he's joining a team that just won a championship in 2021. I'm still trying to figure out what Doc Rivers brings to the table here, but your thoughts on Doc and what he's done so far with the Milwaukee Bucks.
Yeah, I think we're just going to have to hold judgment until the playoffs because, you know, I mean, we've seen his teams do great in the regular season. I mean, the Sixers were always an excellent regular season team, and I know it's been off to a rocky start with the Bucks, but, you know, as of late, they've been actually decent. When they got Patrick Beverley at the trade deadline, that was kind of an underrated move, in my opinion. I can't believe that the Sixers just gave the Bucks Patrick Beverley. I mean, he's a guy, I know he's not anything special, but he's a guy that can get into you defensively. What did the Bucks need? They needed a guy that can get into you defensively. They needed another guy to disrupt on the defensive end, and they got it in Patrick Beverley. I think he can make a big difference. And, you know, there's a lot of these little difference makers that you see getting bought out and at the trade deadline that kind of fly under the radar. I think that Patrick Beverley one's a big one for them because they needed kind of an identity, a toughness. They didn't really have that. And you saw it last night against the Nuggets. I mean, they played the Denver Nuggets and they actually whooped them. They beat them by 17 points. So, you know, obviously Giannis is going to get his. Damian Lillard's going to get his. That was never the issue. I don't know. I still don't understand why they, you know, got Doc Rivers. I think there are a lot of different options out there they could have went to. But for him and the Bucks, look, if you can play defense, I'm going to let the offense with Giannis and Dame carry them. I think the main issue with them is defense. And you got a guy in Patrick Beverley, like I said, that can disrupt, that can cause some chaos. They needed a guy like that. And they actually helped the Clippers out by being right. So Doc Rivers is doing the Clippers another solid. But yeah, I think we're just going to have to hold judgment until the playoffs because obviously the Bucks are a top three team in the East, especially with how the Sixers are playing right now without Joel Embiid. So yeah, the window is open, but I mean, I'm just going to have to hold judgment until I see Doc Rivers get past the second round, which is kind of his kryptonite.
I mean, the thing is, like, we kind of know how this story is going to play out, but you know, we'll see. We will have enough time to do a touch on this as we get into the All-Star weekend, and we'll be out there doing the show there on Thursday and Friday. But wanted to get your thoughts on, I do like it going back to East versus West. No knock on LeBron and Giannis, and they would have once again been the top two vote getters. But I do like that it's East and West. I don't know. The whole draft thing was kind of interesting. So now on the West, we got we got two Lakers, two Clippers. We got LeBron James and Anthony Davis, Kawhi Leonard, Paul George. Are you looking forward to the game and your thoughts on the game?
Yeah, I just hope that the players put forth the effort that we did not see last year. I think, you know, coming out of the game last year, a lot of the talk was, man, what has happened to the All-Star game? It seemed like guys didn't care. They were lollygagging. There's turnovers and guys just chucking up threes. I hope that returning to the West versus East kind of gives them a little bit more juice. Look, I'm not going to doubt Adam Silver either because he's made a few changes here and there to kind of supplement the NBA, right? The in-season tournament was a success. Returning to the West versus East, it seems to have people a little bit more interested. I hope that it is a pretty good show because look, the talent is as high as it's ever been in the NBA, in my opinion. I think you could have, you could even expand the NBA All-Star rosters and still have a really good team. I mean, Domantas Sabonis and De'Aaron Fox weren't even on the team. And, you know, they're the five seed in the West right now and they're putting up great numbers. So it just tells you how much talent is on both of these teams. Look, it's kind of a nostalgic thing. I remember watching the All-Star games when I was younger and it was always East versus West and I was playing on NBA Live and, you know, you always had the East versus West. So it's really cool to see it return. Obviously the teams with Giannis and LeBron and whoever the captains were, that was pretty cool and it was a cool concept, but it wore off pretty quickly because guys just were not interested. So, I'm always excited for the All-Star game, regardless of the narrative around it, just because I love seeing the best players on the best stage. So, I'm actually more concerned about the dunk contest because That needs a little bit of revamp. I know you'll get into that.
No, but I that was really the next point that I wanted to make. And so we'll just say the players who are competing in it. Mac McClellan, this is sort of like the, I don't know if you want to call it a controversy, but you know, but Mac, it'd be great if Mac McClellan could stick on a team and we wouldn't have like a G Leaguer. Again, I like Mac. I thought he was fantastic when he was on the South Bay Lakers. I thought he would find a spot as the 12th man on the Lakers. Has not happened. But anyways, he's sort of like, people have said like he's revitalized the dunk contest. And I'm like, if that's what has happened, I don't know what to say. But anyway, so Mac McClung is back and he'll be going up against Jaylen Brown, Jacob Toppin, and again, local product, Jaime Jaquez Jr. from UCLA, unfortunately passed on by the Lakers, and he's now with the Heat. Your thoughts on that quartet going for the Slam Dunk Championship?
I'm not really thrilled with it. Obviously, I love Mac McClung, and I think he deserves a roster spot on any team because I think that, you know, I've been saying this since he was a rookie in the league, that he has the talent to sustain a roster spot. I don't get that. And he's electric in the dunk contest. We know that. He won it last year. Everyone else, not really thrilled. I'm just... Arash, you remember this, when there was stars competing in the dunk contest, and LeBron was like, I'm going to compete, and there was this hype around it. I wish that would return, you know, and I don't really understand why. Maybe it's the incentive of the players, maybe they don't want to get hurt, but just imagine if you had Zion in there, and Ja Morant, I know he's hurt right now, but you had these high flyers, a Malik Monk in the dunk contest, these guys that... You know, they're well-known names around the league. I feel like that would be such an awesome event, and I can kind of understand why they don't do it. But right now, it seems like the three-point contest is something that a lot of people are looking forward to. I mean, you're going to have Curry against Sabrina. You're going to have some of the best shooters in the league. Now that the league has evolved into being a three-point, I guess, shootout every night, this looks like probably the more exciting skills challenge of the weekend, and it's kind of crazy that it's altered to that, because dunk, everyone loves dunks, but now it seems like everyone wants to tune into the three-point contest, and it just kind of shows you what Steph Curry did to the league, how he changed it, because before Steph Curry came into the league, it was like, oh, okay, we're gonna have the three-point contest, yada yada, now let's get to the nitty-gritty, which is the dunk contest. It's actually flipped for me, at least. I mean, the excitement for me is now directed towards the three-point contest, where Norm Powell, I believe, was a snub, by the way.
Yeah, well, no, but I mean, so let's just get into that real quick before we close out today. In the three-point contest, we'll have Malik Beasley, former Laker, Jalen Brunson, Tyrese Halliburton, Damian Lillard, Lauri Markkanen, Donovan Mitchell, Karl Anthony Towns. How crazy is that? Trae Young. But really quick, before we go to break, I think the event that I think everyone's looking forward to, just because of obviously the star power, but head to head and the significance, Steph Curry versus Sabrina Ionescu. Your thoughts on that? And really, listen, if Sabrina wins, what that could mean?
Oh, I am so excited for this, and I'm so glad they implemented this, because I love crossovers, I love mashups, this is going to be awesome, and the fact that Sabrina is going to step back to the NBA three-point line, look, her range is unlimited, so I'm really not even surprised by that. I really think she can put up a fight against Steph Curry. I know Steph Curry's the greatest shooter that the sport has seen, but... Man, Sabrina can shoot the lights out. I wish we had Caitlin Clark in here too, just all three levels, college, NBA, WNBA. I think that would be really cool. But yeah, I'm very excited for that contest, just because it's something different. I love that they're just trying different things with that. So yeah, I'm very excited for that three-point contest. Unfortunately, not with the dunk contest,
though. I know. Yeah, I mean, and to your point, I think forever people were so excited about the dunk contest. And again, way before your time, but I do remember, I mean, Dominique Wilkins and Michael Jordan. I mean, you're talking about two of the best players in the league at that time going head to head. That's what made it big. And I think so now, yes, it's not as flashy or gimmicky, but the 3-point contest, when you have the best players in the world, you know, and a player could go on a hot streak. And I was in Vegas when Sabrina hit something crazy, like how many, you know, 3-pointers she hit. Then people start talking like, oh, like what if she went up against Steph? So, it'll be fun, and I totally agree with you. I'm more looking forward to that than the Slam Dunk contest. That's all the time we have for today. Let's do it again tomorrow. Until then, this is Arash Markazi saying stay safe and stay healthy.
This is the Arash Markazi Show on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.